This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Well, welcome back to Life Sculptors. Dante Poole, your host here. This is a conversation. Our logo motto is helping your life take shape. We read children's books and have life conversations about them because I really do believe that what we learned about life, we learned most of when we were in elementary school, when teachers were sharing books. I mean, there are so many good things. And if you've tuned in to podcasts before, thank you. Thank you for being a part of the conversation, for liking, for subscribing, for sharing. I see people, they are even bookmarking snippets of it and all kinds of things. Listen, I never take for granted the fact that somebody is taking the time to listen to the words I'm sharing across these airwaves, internet waves, whatever the waves are. They're out there and people are engaging in with me. And so thank you for that. Thank you for that. In this season that we're entering, we're post-election and there's some unrest and, you know, election seasons bring about lots of different challenges to our relationships. And I wanted to have a conversation about community, especially as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year. I mean, all the things. Let's have some conversation about community. And I want to do that through the lens of this book called Scarecrow. It's by Beth Ferry, and it's illustrated by the Fan Brothers. Come on, Fan Brothers, come through, right? So here we go. This is going to be a great read. And you may see me share more pictures than I normally do. I don't know. I'm just trying out new things to see how they work. Okay, here we go. The Scarecrow. Warning up front, it is absolutely a heartwarming story. Lots of rhyming happening here. There we go. Autumn sunshine, haystacks rolled. Scarecrow guards the fields of gold. No one enters. No one dares. Scarecrow stands alone and scares. The fox, the deer, the mice, and crows. It's all he does. It's all he knows. He never rests. He never bends. He's never had a single friend. For all the woodland creatures know not to mess with old Scarecrow. Winter whispers, velvet snow. Scarecrow has no place to go. He dreams of what the spring will bring, of buds and blooms and things that sing. Then something drops from midair, a small scared crow lying there. Broken nest? A broken wing? Scarecrow does the strangest thing. He snaps his pole. He bends down low. He saves the tiny baby crow. What? He tucks him near his heart of hay. He lets him sleep. He lets him stay. He doesn't stop to wonder why. He sings the sweetest lullaby. Oh, this is such a great picture, y'all. Safe and warm, the nestling mends. These two make the oddest friends. But friends they are, right from the start. The crow will grow in Scarecrow's heart. And he will peek, out at the farm. And he will perch on Scarecrow's arm. And they will laugh and wish on stars, forgetting who they really are. For crows are birds, and birds must fly. The fledgling spreads his wings to try. He dips, then soars, and cows out loud. Scarecrow cheers, pleased and proud. But he watches, Scarecrow knows, that he must stay, and Crow must go. Summer sunshine. Autumn chill. Snowflakes make it colder still. No one visits, no one cares. Scarecrow sags alone and stares. Broken heart, broken pole. Nothing fills the empty hole. Then something drops from midair. We've heard this before, haven't we? A large black crow standing there. Scarecrow's arms are open wide. Crow spreads his wings and swoops inside. Joyful hearts brimming whole, a friend will mend a broken pole, and he will spruce up matted hay, and he will say, I'm here to stay. Winter's over, springtime's due. Is there room enough for two? Flowers blooming, fields of green. Five small eggs are tucked unseen. Scarecrow guards them, for he knows that soon they will be baby crows. Look at the family growing, y'all. And he will love them from the start. And they will grow up in his heart. And they will peep and perch and play and make him happy every day. And as the seasons come and go, they will love their dear Scarecrow. The end. And even at the end, the other animals are now gathering around Scarecrow. So good. Oh, man. This is a great read, y'all. Very heartwarming story about this Scarecrow. You know, I was on the plane recently, traveling home from a training, and I won't announce what airline it is, but when I describe it, you, those of you who travel will know it's an airline where you get to choose your seat. They line you up, you get on the plane, you get to choose your seat. There are no assigned seats. And so I sat next to an older woman. It was about 3-4 rows from the front. I decided, listen, I'm going to sit in the front, even if it means sitting in the middle. So I chose a middle seat. Yep, these long legs in a middle seat. I was like, it's only going to be about an hour plane ride. I can handle this for an hour. I sat in the middle seat next to this older woman and then another gentleman. And say there was a, this, yeah, she was an older white woman on my left and a Indian man, he was a father because across from him was his wife and his two children in the other seat. And so there we are, this cornucopia of people sitting in the rows in the airplane. And as I sit, I notice that this woman sitting next to me is disgruntled. Oh, man. She just begins to complain that these gentlemen sitting in the seat across from our aisle held a seat for somebody else. And she was upset because she wanted that window seat on that side. The funny thing was, she was sitting in a window seat. And just, yeah, it didn't seem very rational to me. And I don't think she was being rational at that moment. And she just, the more she talked, the more wound she got. And she says, you know what? I'm going to say something. And I immediately put my headphones in my ears because I was like, oh my gosh, it's about to go down. I put my headphones in my ear, but I could hear her going off on them. It's just not right that you held that seat. And she's just going off and going off and going off. And then eventually she just kind of pipes down in the seat and she says, there, I've said it. You know what? And she said her age, and it was above 60. You know, I'm this how old I am, and I have lived long enough to get what I want and to do what I want, she said. And I just looked at her and shook my head. And so I said to her, are you done? Are you ready to let it go? And she says, oh, this is the thing, right? She says to me, hey, I'm from the South, and I know what it's like to be discriminated against, and that's discrimination. And I just couldn't engage in the conversation any more than said, are you done? Are you ready to let this go? And she even said, hey, I go to church, and I do good. And I just kept simply saying to her, are you ready to let this go? She says, yes. And she takes her hands and she throws them up. And she says, I'm letting it go. I said, I think that's a good thing for you to do because you're sitting on the plane in a seat by the window next to a really nice guy who's not going to complain about you being next to him. And I'm just going to leave you be and we're going to have a great plane ride. And she says, you're right. And she did it again with her hands. I'm going to let it go. And it just, oh my gosh. I thought for sure that somebody was going to call the police and come and get her off the plane the way she was going off. But she finally calmed down. She finally calmed down because she had a community of people sitting next to her. See, life has a way of creating circumstances that change the way we experience life. And as seasons change, so does our need for connection and community. That woman needed connection and community. She was arguing about the principle, not necessarily about the seat. And she really just wanted to be heard. And after we could hear her, she can get to a better place. And we didn't hold it against her because she needed to be heard. The question that it made me think about is, how do we show up for other people when they need us? How do we show up even differently than what we have always been known to be? See, given the circumstances and the climate of our country, it could have gotten really ugly. But it didn't because we made a decision to show up differently for her. And see, we typically do what's familiar to us. Like our brains, they look for patterns. And so change and having a different approach requires effort. It's an effort and a willingness to take risks. It's a willingness to be vulnerable. It's when we can be vulnerable that we get into these spaces where we can then begin to become community. Enter our story about the scarecrow, a scarecrow. Historically, it's a decoy or a mannequin shaped like a human and used to discourage birds from disrupting or feeding on the seeds that the farmer has sown in the ground. A decoy. Oh, my gosh. And they were first made by the Egyptians to protect wheat fields by the Nile River. And then the Greeks started using human clothes on them to scare off birds. And they used human clothes because it was the scent of the humans that the birds would flee from, not necessarily the mannequin itself. And then the Greeks started doing it. And then the Japanese would do stuff. They would hang old rags and meat and fish bones on the mannequin to scare off not just birds but other animals from eating their crops. And then the Germans would use wooden scarecrows, and the medieval Britain, they would use children to ward off birds. The children would walk through the fields with bags of stone, and they would throw stones at the birds to keep them from eating the crops. The scarecrows, they by design, they're made to be a decoy, something that tricks or confuses something or someone else, or it entices or lures them to do something that is a trap or is dangerous. Or they warn of danger. A decoy employs ingenuity and sometimes flattery and sometimes enticement. And there's a word that's a synonym for decoy. It's inveigle. It's I-N-V-E-I-G-L-E, inveigle. And inveigle is derived from a 16th century Anglo-French verb, which means to hoodwink someone. Oh my gosh, the purpose of a scarecrow is to deceive crows and birds into believing that they are in danger if they come near it. The scarecrow is hoodwinking the birds. Man. And sometimes we are like the scarecrow. We are blind to the possibilities of relationships with others who are different from us because of our emotions and the history that we have with relationships. They deceive us. They hoodwink us. They serve as scarecrows, having us believe that others are not safe. This line in the book says, "Scarecrow stood alone." His design to protect was okay, but his method of protection caused him to be isolated. And sometimes our attempt to protect isolates us from others. And so, but what's great about the scarecrow, though, is even though he was alone, he has an appreciation for the environment that he's in. He pays attention to when the seasons change and when things grow and all these things, right? When the temperature change. And you know what's amazing to me? That the scarecrow helps a scared crow. Yep. The two of them are not even supposed to be together. The two of them are not supposed to be together because he was designed to scare the crow, but this crow wasn't scared because of the scarecrow. The crow was scared because it was hurt, because it had been through something. And sometimes when you've gone through something in your life, you are in a position to receive help from somebody who may not look like or seem like help. Sometimes help comes in a package that you don't expect it. Yup. Yeah. So the scarecrow, though, sees this as an opportunity to be something more than just a scary fixture in his community. He snaps his pole, the book says. But him snapping his pole is a sign that he's ready to break free from what has been holding him up, what has been keeping him from becoming more. See, the rules of engagement that we have been taught may be necessary in an earlier season of our life, but may not serve us well in the next season of our life. Just because it was effective then doesn't mean we should keep using it. And so the scarecrow breaks his pole. And so it's important, right, that we don't hold on or become resentful even of old methods of protection. Because sometimes we've been taught some things and ways that helped us when we were in a season, and they were good then. But if we just resent them, then we missed the point, because we needed them then. We needed them to survive then, but they are no longer necessary for our survival today. Oh, man, it doesn't make them bad things. It just makes them not useful anymore. And there's a difference. And sometimes we label something bad. It's not necessarily bad. It's just not useful anymore. And even the scariest among us has buried beneath our hard exterior, our hay-like, scary selves, there is a heart for others. See, we live in a world where culture has dictated who we can be friends with and how we ought to treat others, and especially when they're different. Oh, my goodness. These two, though, the scarecrow and the baby bird, they are breaking the rules about how they are supposed to interact with each other. I am encouraging us to break the rules about how we're supposed to interact with each other. I could have gotten offended by this woman's statement to a black man that she knew what it was like to be discriminated against. But I didn't get offended by it. It was just like, I knew she was hurting. She was like the baby bird. She had fallen out her nest. Her wings were hurt, and she needed somebody to just embrace her and love her where she was. See, one way to keep a group of people from becoming community is to convince them that the others are unwanting, unwilling, and unsafe. See, a difference in opinion does not make someone unsafe. God, y'all, we can disagree and still be community. Differences don't always translate into danger. And there is a narrative influencing, enticing, luring, hoodwinking us to cut each other off, to believe that the other people around us don't mean us any good. And this is just not true. Those gentlemen on the plane weren't trying to harm this woman. They were just trying to be together. And there were open seats everywhere. When they got on the plane, there was like a choice of anywhere you wanted to sit. They were just trying to be together. Sometimes we let the narrative of the world around us tell us that people don't mean each other any good, and it's just not true. There are more people in the world doing good towards others than those who are taking advantage of others. And this line in the story is so poignant for our current times. I want to go back to it because it's so good. It's early in the narrative. It's early in the story. And here's what it says. Here's what it says. It says, "No one enters, no one dares. Scarecrow stands alone and scares the fox and deer, the mice and crows. It's all he does. It's all he knows." We have got to do something with this truth that sometimes we are stuck. It's all he does. It's all he knows. Sometimes we only know how to relate a certain way And the question I have to ask you then is, how do you break free from the stereotypes and the implicit biases that keep us at odds with each other? How do we break out of the expectations of others who, for the sake of their own gain, for the sake of their power and control of the narrative of a situation, whether it's political or religious or social, whatever it is, they instigate us into arguments and conflicts that don't serve us well as community? I'm telling you, as seasons change in our lives, whoo-wee, so should our expectations. See, the pole that Scarecrow breaks represents limiting beliefs that have bound us to doing only what is expected of us. See, Scarecrow was unwilling to settle for just being what others expected him to be. Or whatever his origin story has told him he should be. Whatever your culture or community, whatever that is, your family even sometimes, whatever the lessons are, whatever the rules are that you've adopted that keep you from connecting authentically, genuinely, openly with other people who are different from you, it's limiting you. I know it was put in place to protect you. I get that. But again, I want to say sometimes the rules of engagement that we've encountered, that we've adopted, that we are living to protect us are also isolating us. And life has a way of making a demand for more than what has been expected. If you see an opportunity to build a bridge or to bridge the gap relationally with someone else, you should do it. Like, don't be afraid to break free from old biases that have kept you from seeing more than one perspective. When I demand that everybody see my perspective and live life according to the way I see it, I'm just wrong. Because my perspective isn't the only thing that's right. And sometimes my perspective is wrong. And so by allowing and being allowed to create space, or even being allowed into spaces that others may have deemed us unallowable or have not given us permission to enter, is important. And like the Scarecrow, we must be willing to create space in our hearts for others. That baby crow was hurting and would not have survived had the Scarecrow not decided to do what was helpful. If he had decided to just keep doing what he's always done and being who he's always been, that baby crow would have died. And so he decided instead to make a decision that the life of the bird was more important than the expectations that he had, that the expectations even that the community around him had placed on him. Nobody approached him. Everybody knew how to deal with and not to mess with old Scarecrow. You don't think he knew that? Oh, he knew it, but he decided, I'm not living into that. I'm going to be different. I'm going to take a risk and help someone who I was designed to scare away. He decided to create a new community. And it was risky. It was risky. See, the Scarecrow, right? He helps us ask this question. Are you willing to go against the grain of social norms and build bridges between people so that we can move towards real reconciliation with each other? Yeah. See, Scarecrow was guarding a territory, but he was willing to become vulnerable and open his heart to make a difference in the life of someone else. You even will be seen as strange and maybe even ridiculed by some who are stuck in a way of thinking that doesn't build community. But don't let that stop you from bending to meet the needs of someone who needs you. The family of crows, who returns to the scarecrow, helps him discover that he was made for more than just protecting fields of crops. That maybe the same protective skill could be used to provide for what his friends needed. What does it mean to consider that something that you've been using to help protect you, something that may have been an asset for you, that if used incorrectly can become a weapon, a liability? Y'all, we need community. That's all I'm saying is we need community, and because community helps us address our sense of belonging. It gives us opportunities to give and receive to each other. It also supports the development of healthy identity. Like, we all have a place in this world. All of us have a place in this world. And some of us are being placed together. It's also vital for the psychological well-being. Like, having people to talk to and to connect with, it reduces stress and isolation. Your giving is just as important as receiving. And all I'm asking you to do is give people an opportunity to be in relationship with you. Because you have the capacity to be more than what's expected of you. We have the capacity to be more than just black people and white people, or gay and straight, or old and young, or country music and rap, or whatever the differences are, whether you like Thai food or Mexican or whatever. We have the capacity to be more than what's expected of us. And I'm just challenging you to consider that maybe there are others in your community who would become more if they saw you taking the risk to become more. Okay. I'm just saying. The Scarecrow by Beth Ferry and the Fan Brothers, who illustrated. Good stuff, y'all. Good stuff. Do me a favor. Share this with someone. Subscribe. Like it. Comment, please. But above all else, remember this. You're enough. Until next time.